Nice and cool outside. I'm Mayor Pro Tem Wayman Furman from the City of Indio. I'll be chairing this meeting. And for the record, I'd like to welcome from Cathedral City, Ms. Christina Gordon joining us, and Mayor Pro Tem Pena from Indian Wells. And we also have Amy McDuffie from Riverside County joining us as well. So can I get a roll call, please?
City of Blythe, City of Cathedral City, here. City of Coachella, here. Desert Healthcare District, City of Desert Hot Springs,
Here.
City of Indian Wells,
Present.
City of Indio,
Present.
City of La Quinta, City of Palm Desert,
Here.
City of Palm Springs,
Here.
City of Rancho Mirage,
Here.
Merced County,
Present.
Torres Martinez, Desert Cahuilla Indians.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Right, thank you. If we could all please stand, if I could have Council Member Perez lead us in the pledge.
Please your right hand. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right, staff, do we have any agenda
We do
modifications?
not.
No modifications. Do we have any conflict of interest disclosure from the board committee?
See none.
All right, so we'll move on to item number two, which is public comment on agenda items. Do we have any public comments?
Anybody in the audience? Chair, we did not receive any
Public
written. We
comments.
haven't.
Okay. So now we'll move on to number three, which is chair committee and staff announcements. Do we have anything from the staff?
I do have a couple of announcements. Committee members, you are also members of the General Assembly, which will be meeting later this month, June 29th. So if you haven't registered, please do so. We are looking forward to a very engaging and fun evening being planned. I also just wanted to note that the Executive Committee will meet just before General Assembly for their last meeting of the month. There will be one item the staff is likely to add to that agenda. We found out this week that we're being recommended for additional funding through the Emergency Solutions Grant. This is normally something that would have come to you on your consent calendar. It's about $30,000, but we do want to get authorization for the executive director to sign any unnecessary paperwork and accept funds over the break. If you have any questions or concerns about that funding, please let me know. There was only 600,000 available countywide. It does seem like we're going to be recommended for 30, so we will take every $30,000 that we can get along the way, and that will mostly be used to help offset the CV Housing First outreach efforts. And that's the announcements I have.
Great. Do we have any announcements from the committee? Do we need more coffee?
Yeah.
All right. I just have one, or maybe it's a request, or maybe I can ask the committee. Being that it's hot, summer months are upon us, I like to just get a list out of cooling centers. And I hadn't had a chance to really look at it. So if we have them out there, I know CVRM and Indio Senior Center does them. So I think if we start getting those out there, it's going to be very crucial for these hot summer months. So that's all I have. But yes.
I do have one just because I was looking at when the next meeting is in September. So before then, we should be doing a ribbon cutting of our tiny home village that we did for our homeless population. So once I solidify a date, I'll send a notice out to everyone because anyone can welcome to come. We're finally going to open that hopefully in mid-July. We're still working on some policies on placement for our tribal members, but it's a 16 unit tiny home village of converted sheds with barbecue and stuff like that for our homeless population that we started working on 6 months ago, and we're finally ready to have people in there. So that's exciting.
Cool.
Vice Chair, if you want to send that to us, we'll make sure the committee members all receive a copy, and we'll also circulate the cooling center information.
That's just a reminder too, as well. There was just a ribbon cutting for the grand opening for ABC Club in Indio,
Yeah.
and so I didn't get a chance to make it. But I believe it's a is it 100 beds?
Yeah.
Is it 100 beds that they're going to have? So that's another great resource in our community. They've always been a great partner, and so it's always good to see that happening as well. So if there's no further comments, we'll move to the consent calendar. And if no one wants to pull anything, I'll entertain a motion.
Move consent. Palm Desert.
Second.
Got a motion from Palm Desert, second from Torres Martinez. Kelly, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays, abstentions? Consent calendar passes. So next item is 4.1, which is items held over for the consent calendar, which is none. So now we'll move to item number 5, which is a discussion action item. And it's an update from Coachella Valley Rescue Mission. And it will be from our development director, Mr. Scott Wolf. I don't see Amanda in with us.
She was going to try to, Amanda was traveling today. She was going to try to join virtually. If she pops into the meeting, we'll be able to add her to the screen. Thank you, Scott.
Good morning, everybody. I see a lot of familiar faces in the room, but for those of you who don't know me, I'm Scott Wolf, Development Director of the Coachella Valley Rescue Mission. This year, we're celebrating 55 years of service to the Valley. And I'm also proud to mention just real quick that Coachella Valley Rescue Mission was designated the California State Assembly District 36 Nonprofit of the Year in 2026. So we're very proud of that. Today, what I want to do is just very quickly run through basically who we are, what we do, and then start out with some things that we're looking forward to in the future and beyond. And of course, after, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, I'll be happy to take care of that as well. So we are a full continuum of care from the street to the front door. We do have street outreach, which has two teams, which both have two teams with two people each. And we also have a female on our team, which enables us to engage with the female population out on the streets too a little bit easier. Same gender to same gender engagement has always been a difficulty for us, but now we don't have that difficulty. Our emergency shelter is a 70-bed shelter, which is up to a 90-day stay if you don't want to be case managed. We have two long-term programs, both secular and faith-based, and we also have a housing department, and we'll talk about that just a little bit later. Our street outreach team, there's a good picture of our street outreach team in one of the trucks. The trucks are filled with supplies and clothing, hygiene items, everything from hats to socks to shoes to underwear. We fill the back of the truck with ice chests and bring out food and juice and water. And we engage right where the need is the greatest, out on the streets. Currently, we are serving from Palm Springs, sometimes out to Banning and Beaumont, sometimes all the way out to Blythe, down to Thermal. The only city that we're not covering currently is the city of Desert Hot Springs because they've got their program covered. We have two shower trailers. We just got a brand new one, but currently we're handing out engagements in all the cities. But then on alternate Fridays, we have a shower trailer set up in Palm Springs and Indio. And each time that we're at a little command center handing out supplies and also giving showers, we're engaging about 40 people a day with showers and fresh clothes. One of the new things that we have is our family shelter expansion. Our family shelter expansion gives us the ability to house 17 mothers at full capacity with both the original shelter and the new shelter, which means not only 17 mothers, but over 35 children are safe and taken care of. There's semi-private rooms if we're overflowed, but currently right now, each mom has their own room. Just a little bit by the numbers, of course, 1,800 unduplicated contacts over the last 12 months, over 1,000 street outreach engagements. We have two graduations a year, and it's about 150 plus graduates. Our dedicated housing department, with the assistance of Riverside County funding and homelessness diversion funding, have been able to house 87 individuals in housing in the last 12 months. A year past graduation, 82% of our graduates are still living independently. Our kitchen serves right around 325,000 meals a year, and that's both public and in-house. And also every Wednesday, we give out food boxes somewhere around 150 to 175 per week. Everybody knows that we always want to improve. We always want to do better. We always want to make sure that we have everything that we need to serve the underserved in the Valley. So we've got a couple of things that we're doing looking into the future. The first one is workforce development. We're really concentrating on workforce development by building a second resale boutique. right across from the main mission property. Construction is underway. We are anticipating opening in the fall of 2026. What this really does is it really, really expands our workforce development program. When you're in one of our long-term residential programs, one of the key things is job skills training and workforce development. Every client does anywhere from 25 to 35 hours a week in workforce development. And the resale boutique is just one of the things that we have for training stations. It gives them the ability to get trained in things like how to operate a cash register or a POS machine, how to deal with the public, warehousing, inventory, pricing, rotating stock. I mean, everything in the retail industry. In addition to things like our Mission Catering, our catering company, also things like building maintenance, landscaping. We have a commercial laundry as well, so they learn to do laundry on the big equipment that the hotels and the resorts use. So that's all practical work experience that they can put on a resume. And when it comes time for them to look for a job, they also have a paid staff supervisor reference to vouch for them. It's been a very successful program, and we're very proud. The second thing is really, really important. What we have found at the Rescue Mission as far as providing mental health services to our clients is the fact that logistically, it's just a little bit difficult to get people to and from. And it also has a lot of engagement challenges and follow-up challenges. So what we're trying to do is we're working on bringing mental health services right to the CVM property. Our executive director, Amanda, is working with just a whole bunch of other service providers to make that vision a reality. Hopefully by the end of 2026, it'll be all in place and we can start providing mental health services right on our property. Another big thing is fathers with children, single fathers with kids that are homeless, is actually a demographic that is the most underserved demographic anywhere. And we want to fix that. So our vision for the future is building a shelter dedicated just for fathers with children. Right now, if we encounter a father with children, we have to refer them out somewhere and they might just have to resort to their last resort, which might be if they want to go into a program, is putting their kids with Olive Crest. And, you know, we just want to keep family unity. So this is our dream. We're looking forward to realizing that dream in the next couple of years. Like I mentioned before, our mobile showers are great in Palm Springs and Indio, but we would love to have a Mid-Valley location in Cathedral City. So we are seeking a suitable site in the Cathedral City area to establish that location. And it's just to extend consistent services to the entire valley. And if anybody has any feedback or any information to steer us in the right direction where we might find like a church parking lot or a vacant lot or whatever we can in the city of Cathedral City, we would be very, very grateful.
Have you talked to the senior center?
Yes, ma'am, we have. And we run into a lot of NIMBYism. They don't want a lot of homeless gathering in one area. We run into that all the time. So we're hoping that not only CVAG, but also the individual cities, especially Cathedral City, can help us out with that. We would be very grateful. And just how the committee can partner with us, we need to identify that location. We also are very grateful for any kind of referrals to program providers and funding, and also advocacy and partnership are first and foremost. And with that said, I just want to say this. To each and every one of you and your representative organizations, I just want to say thank you on behalf of Amanda, myself, the team, and all the clients that we serve. I just want to say thank you for all of your partnerships, for all of your support, and for helping us make a meaningful impact in the Coachella Valley serving the underserved. So thank you very much. Any questions? Any comments?
Some questions, yes.
I know that the because I sit on the board for the Coachella Valley Behavioral Health Center, the one in Indio behind JFK. They just started doing services for mental health during the day. in lieu of overnight stay. So they're starting to do call-in services and stuff like that over there. And they have a van if they need to pick anybody up. I did not bring any brochures about that program. I don't know why I did it, but I know they started that just recently, that they're willing to see more patients over there during the day that may not need overnight, but they may need additional time. So if you reach out to them, I know they'll be of assistance.
Yes,
And
sir.
I'll get some con I'll get some brochures to Erica.
Yes, Jen.
What we did when we were doing, talk to the churches, one, two, have the churches do send letters out to surrounding areas and tell them we're going to be here. A lot of times that works because they know you're coming and that you're not there permanently, you're going to leave. And the churches, a lot of the churches want to do things also. And so they'll work with to give food or haircuts or something. And if you do it at a certain time and it's the same time every day, and then everybody leaves, usually is palatable.
And I appreciate that. Thank you. I believe our street outreach management is already starting to reach out to all the churches in the city. Yeah, that was going to be one of the first things that we're going to do. Street outreach, a lot of times in the past, we've had some locations set up and we've just been met with obstacles and challenges. Staying in the same place because of the surrounding community doesn't want the concentration of the homeless in that area. So that's just an obstacle we're working on resolving.
When you're doing street outreach in thermal, where are you going in thermal?
I don't know exactly, but I can get that information to you. Most of the time, it's just scouting around, and the outreach teams, for the most part, since they've been out there so long, they know exactly where to go,
Okay.
where the homeless are congregating. And a
Because
lot of times, our outreach team is also former homeless themselves, so they know where the homeless hangs out.
I know we have a couple hotspots on the reservation that we have homeless encampments and where the homeless hang out. So if you ever need to go to those areas, just call the tribal offices, because we have a form that you sign that just gives you access to tribal land, and then you can.
And I think that might be an obstacle for us.
Yeah.
Erica has my business card.
Okay.
If you can grab one and just send me an email, and I'll make that connection for you, and we'll get that done.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Have you guys worked with like code enforcement to go out to certain campsites?
We have done that in the past with numerous cities. Yes, sir.
With
Yes, ma'am.
Coachella as well, or
Coachella, Indio, and I believe Palm Springs. We've been working with their code enforcement teams.
Any other questions for Mr. Wolf? Well, we do have his business card, so I think it'd be great that everybody could communicate and make that connection. They do provide a lot of services. I have the pleasure of sitting on the board, so I have a little background of what actually happens, and it's a lot of great work, but it's a good collaboration. So we're not reinventing the wheel when we're doing these things. We can work together. And so thank you, Scott, for your work and your dedication to this community for a number of years. And so we'll move on, but thank you, and we'll make that connection as well. And also, if you can make the slides available to our staff so we could get them out to everyone as well.
I believe Erica has copies.
Yeah,
Yes.
right. Thank you. So appreciate
Thank
you,
you.
Scott. Thank you. And so we'll move on now to which I think is going to be a great nexus. Our next presenters are from Riverside County Probation, Mr. Montrell, and they have a lot of good services. And I think these paths are going to cross. So we can see how this collaboration works in our community. Riverside County Probation has a lot of services I think people don't know. So this is going to be good. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for the invitation. Good morning, everyone. My name is Alfredo Monreal. I'm currently a deputy probation officer with Riverside County Probation, assigned to the mobile service unit, which was created back in July of last year. So next month will be our 1 year anniversary that the unit was formed. Right now, the unit is composed of two teams, one based on the East End, which covers Banning to Blythe and every city in between, and the other one on the West End, which covers Anza to Corona and every other city in between. Yeah.
Could I ask that you stand behind the podium just so we can grab you for the our virtual audience?
Yeah,
thank you. Sorry. Thank you.
So this is, I don't know if you guys have been out there in the community, but this is normally what we're in. This is our mobile service center, our mobile office. So this is where we bring most of the services to the individuals. And it's not just probation related cases. It can be any individual, right? Whoever is in need of services. From my experience so far, I've been assigned to this unit since November. From my experience so far is it doesn't take the first time. Usually it's 4 or 5 times we've actually had individuals come up, knock on this thing and say, hey, you know what? I'm ready today. So thankfully, you know, you can't miss this thing. So they come up to us and, you know, a lot of times we have food. So they'll come up to us and that's how we build rapport with them and trust, obviously, which is huge. But the main purpose of our mobile service center is to reduce homelessness, reduce the strain on the court system and the healthcare system. Services are provided directly within the communities where they are needed most. We do see a lot of homelessness out in Cathedral City, Coachella, Indio, but we're also out in Palm Desert, La Quinta, Banning, Beaumont, just to name a couple out in Coachella, Thermal. We just started stationing out in Thermal. So we're all over the place. We promote accessibility, efficiency, and proactively support probation clients along with those who are in need of services. So they don't necessarily have to be on probation for us to help them out or connect them to services. Just a list of some of the collaborative partners, and we work with so many agencies, it's kind of hard to list them all, but just a couple from here to Riverside. One agency, obviously, that's very instrumental in us, in helping us right now is CVAG as well. We partner with Candace and Candace Bahama, we're looking for you over here, but Candace and her team, which they do a great job at, you know, helping a lot of the individuals get off the streets, but it's just a couple. Our main goal is improving not only our client success, but also those that aren't on probation, right? How do we do that? By reducing failure to appear, you know, in court hearings and clogging up the criminal justice system sometimes. If we can get them in, if they have misdemeanor warrants or something, if we can get them and have those warrants taken care of, we'll do so right then and there, because a lot of these individuals, one of the biggest things that they lack is transportation. So if time permits, we'll take them ourselves and get that taken care of. Probation appointment check-ins, this has been huge. You know, I've been doing this for 12 years. So one of the biggest complaints has been, hey, I don't have a way to get to the office. So we bring the office to them, whatever city they're in. And provide services that address underlying barriers to compliance, right? Sometimes these barriers, they just snowball into bigger issues. So we try to get them before they become those bigger issues. These are some of the things that we will help with, identifying and assisting healthcare needs of homeless clients. And this is one thing that I love about this assignment right now. Not every day is the same. Just the other day, we were out there in Dillon in our side-by-side, you know, looking for individuals that may need help in those hard to reach areas, which we come across a lot out there in Indio. People that have had, you know, certain injuries that, hey, you know what, let's get you to St. John's Clinic and have this taken care of before you go to the emergency room and clog up that area, you know. So we try to get to it, and from a preventative standpoint, provide earlier intervention and preventative care, reduce reliance on emergency healthcare service, and encourage a proactive approach to health and well-being. And then just encouraging them to follow up with their appointments. You know, and like I said, if time permits, if they need a ride here and there, we don't mind giving them, you know, a ride. Just the other day, we came across an individual who was ready for inpatient. So we took the time and we drove them out to Bloomington, you know. Mobile service centers will be strategically located in areas with high homeless populations, communities with limited access to services. Some of the benefits, obviously reducing needs for clients to travel to offices, increased access to partner agency services, and greater community engagement and outreach. One thing that I love is all the agencies that we collaborate with. I like to think of us as kind of like the bridge that gaps the individual to the agencies that we collaborate, you know, from CVAG, St. John's Clinic, Behavioral Health, obviously Scott with CRM, which we're going to have to connect later on. But everyone makes our jobs a lot easier in helping the community hopefully get a lot of these underserved or individuals with services that need services, the services they need. Expected outcomes is reducing the burden for courts and probation officers, lower demand on emergency healthcare services, increased client compliance and engagement, improved public safety and community health. You know, it takes a village, and that's what I'm thankful for about all the partnerships. You know, working together obviously makes my job a lot easier, and I really appreciate it. But one thing is that's key is patience. You know, like I said, we come across people all the time who aren't ready right then and there, but maybe on the ninth or 10th time they are, which, hey, you know what? I can't complain. Before any questions, I do have some stats. So these are from June 2025 to June 2026. We have over 1,500 community contacts made through the mobile service center on the East End only. We don't have the numbers for the West End, but this is just the East End strictly of outreach operations across the Coachella Valley. We have over 9,000 food and water distributions provided to individuals and families experiencing homelessness or hardship, 300 probation office visits and check-ins that have prevented a type of violation or anything that may have resulted in them going to jail. 200 referrals to partner agencies for housing, behavioral health, medical care, benefits assistance, and other supportive services. And additional services include legal assistance, something as simple as charging stations. I never realized how important that is for them to charge their phones. Classes, public assistance referrals, and assessments on our behalf. Obviously, the key message over the 12 months, MSC East has more than 1,400 direct contacts and delivered over 1,500 services and referrals, demonstrating the value of mobile field-based outreach and connecting vulnerable residents to critical resources and support.
Thank you. Great presentation.
Yeah.
I appreciate your work. Before we move forward, do you have any questions for Officer Montreux?
Not a question, but a comment. So I'm glad that this presentation came by today, because you guys were in Thermal 2 weeks ago. Literally all the text messages I was getting was, who are they picking up? Are they doing a sweep? Why are they here? I'm like, they're not on the reservation, so don't worry, number one. And number two, just stay away from them if you're concerned. Like, everyone was bugging me, like, thinking that something nefarious was happening. I'm like, they're just parked there. So okay.
We had, like, I kid you not, because I was there.
Yeah.
We had about 10 or 12 people stop by, like, hey, what are you guys doing here?
Yeah.
It was just, you know, providing if we can help you, if there's anything you need, just let us know. We can connect you right now. But it was all just probation check-ins that day. We're bringing our office to the population that live out here in Thermal. Yeah, that was I actually saw a couple of videos also about people posting us.
Oh, yeah, no, online, people, so yeah, they were fun. Everyone was high alert that day.
Yeah, they were
parked next to that house. I was like, it's fine, you're okay.
Yeah,
like, good enough.
Thank you all for the partnership, and hopefully, we can continue working together.
You guys make it out to Blythe?
We do. Actually, we're going out there next week on the 24th. Once a month.
Once a month, yeah. So is that how you do it? You just move around? Or do you have, like, targeted locations you go?
Yeah, yeah. So we try to partner with other agencies that can make it out to certain events. But other than that, like, I currently have a case load out in Blythe, so I'm out there about 4 or 5 times a month. So if there's a need, I'll let the team know, hey, you know what, let's go take care of this or whatever the need may be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I appreciate the mobile charging stations as well. So much of our services now are you have to go online, right?
And we have cooling stations now. So hey, for the summer, we have some fans that blow out mist and air, which we used it for an event yesterday. Awesome.
Great.
Awesome. So we're all over the place. Actually, we have an event going down right now in Palm Springs for homelessness or unhoused population. It includes showers, free haircuts, and all that good stuff.
And so that's where that collaboration would be good. You guys,
dude,
could,
yeah,
you know, circle around or hit different spots, locations at the, you know, different times to spread the services. So we appreciate what you do. Do we have any other questions for Officer Montreux? And I know he just hit the tip of the iceberg. They do a lot. And so thank you for joining us. We'd love to have you back to talk about some of the other things that you guys are doing out there.
Yeah, for sure.
So we appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so We'll move on now to annual contributions to CV Housing First Program. And Erica will be handling this for us.
Thank you, Chair. Committee members, this is the request before you is really a minor adjustment to what has already been authorized for the executive director. As you all remember, we have these multi-year MOUs. The idea is really to save staff time on both ends and going to cities each year. It creates some funding stability. The most recent MOUs does include an annual inflation adjustment, which was 3.2% for this coming year. And as we continue our program, what we're hearing from cities is there is starting to be some interest in finding ways to fund the program without tapping into general fund. And so we are the request before you would allow the executive director to negotiate and execute memorandums of understanding with cities that include some non-cash contributions, such as perhaps a dedicated unit. Some of our we've had some interest in perhaps a city funding a unit that would have some value and that would help offset our rental costs and provide our, you know, a crisis stabilization unit for our program. And so as we start to explore these opportunities, we were conscious of the fact that that was in the original authorization and are seeking essentially an amendment to allow for that flexibility should a city or jurisdiction want to do so. I do want to note that a small adjustment to the staff report that was presented last night, the city of La Quinta did authorize another one-year MOU. The city, you might remember, does prefer a one-year MOU versus a multi-year MOU, and their council unanimously supported the program last night. With that, the recommendation before you is allowing this negotiating and execution of MOUs. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Erica?
Comment from Pam Vetter. Sure. I know we're one of the cities that is interested in this change, so thank you for working that out with staff. Palm Desert has not committed, has not approved the budget for this year, but we fully anticipate participating next year with a full cash contribution, and then in the future looking at potential alternatives.
Any other questions, comments for Erica? Well, this is an action item, so I'll entertain a motion.
Second.
Got a motion from Riverside County, second clerk Martinez. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Abstentions? Motion passes. Thank you. Thank you, Eric. So we'll move on now to item number six, which is information. Your attendance record is all in the packet. Any updates from ex officio members? Do we have anyone online? No, I don't see anyone here. On the line. Okay, the rest is just information that's in your packet. So we'll move on to item number seven, which is public comment on non-agenda items. No public comment? No public comment, but I want to make clarification. I did mention the ABC Recovery Center. I just want to give you some correct numbers, so I just don't put that out there. So they had their grand opening and ribbon cutting, and it was they actually obtained a $25 million grant, a $27 million grant, sorry, for a campus expansion. And that would add 120 new licensed beds across seven buildings. So that's great, you know, for ABC Recovery Center. I know Chris is doing a great job out there, so congratulations to them. Just want to make that clarification. So we'll move on to the next item, which is announcements. Our next Homelessness Committee meeting will be Wednesday, September 16th. At 10 a.m. It'll be here in the same location. Next executive meeting is June 29th, 4:30 at Fantasy Springs. And following that will be the General Assembly, which will be at 6 p.m. Do we have any other questions, comments, gripes? Nothing?
We don't take gripes.
No gripes. well, that's it. I'll adjourn this meeting at 10:36.